I can be a winning Ryder Cup captain away, so is an exceptionally big deal, and it adds a lot to my legacy.
For the best Ryder Cup build-up reaction and exclusive interviews, go to otbsports.com/golfweekly and become an official friend of the pod now.
All right, I'm delighted to welcome the PwC GPA Women's Player of the Month Award for Ladies Football in September. Vicky Wall, congratulations on your award and congratulations on the success of the last couple of weeks. You've brought the pride back to Meath football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been unbelievable. It's been a very, very enjoyable few weeks. You know, we haven't got the cup yet, but so it'll be an excuse now to do a bit more celebrating when we get that. But yeah, it's been unbelievable.
I can't imagine you'll need much excuses looking at the Instagram celebrations over the last wee while. Can you let us in a wee bit on what those celebrations are like? Is it just pure mayhem? Is it heaven? Is it tough on the body? Are you able to enjoy it at all? Or is it just madness?
Yeah, I suppose looking back at it last week, a few days definitely merged into one. But we, like I said, we made the most of it. And it was nice. We kind of got a mix of a few evenings with kind of, let's say, our families and friends and stuff like that. And then a few with just the team. So it's always special. And I know there's a few moments when we were on the bus that was kind of bringing us around to different clubs and stuff like that. We just kind of pause and look at each other and be like, best days of our lives. And it was just like, it was the best days of our lives. It was unbelievable. So yeah, it was class.
Can we go back to the final whistle at the end of the game? You were on off the ball speaking in the few days afterwards, and there was that brilliant video of you. I think you're looking for your dad and you come across Sean Boylan conveniently just in front of the cameras. So you've got that iconic video for the rest of your life there with Sean Boylan. Being from Dunboyne, that must have been pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose Sean's been very good to our ladies team in Dunboyne and even me, usually like any injuries you have or anything like that. If you're rushing to get back from a match, you know, he'll see you at any time of the day, and he's just an absolute gent. So to see him after the match was unbelievable. And then obviously, I kind of maybe pawned him off a bit quickly and I was just looking for my dad. But I suppose it's such a nice memory to have. Yeah, absolutely.
When you were growing up, the Keith Pack jerseys, the Meath All-Ireland titles, like, was that a big fixture in your house?
Probably not, to be honest, no. Like, it's only since myself and my younger sister Sarah got involved in Gaelic, like, dad would have been soccer and my mum would have been involved in Irish dancing. So there probably wouldn't have been a huge amount of kind of maybe memories of that from when I'm younger. But it's been unbelievable. And I suppose keep back on the jersey is always nice.
Mm. But when did you, like in terms of a footballer, the style that you play, it's quite unique in terms of, or maybe it was just the role that was there the day of the game against Dublin. You were the get-out clause all day long. Like, Meath's defensive system, the way that Eamon Murray had set you up in that game, it was phenomenal. It was actually quite similar to how Tyrone, I suppose, had stopped Kerry around that same week. We knew that Kerry wanted to score goals that day, and Tyrone's defensive shape around the D, the way that they stopped players one-on-one, and it was replicated just the same way by the Meath footballers the following week, the way you did against Dublin. But I suppose what Tyrone had a little differently is they maybe had a couple of different ways to get back up the field, whereas you were the cannonball coming out with the ball all the time. Did you know that was going to be your role that day, or did you just put the bit between the teeth and go with it as the game was transpiring?
Yeah, I think you kind of, like, obviously, like, I do like carrying the ball and stuff like that. So I suppose it's kind of maybe the position I was playing in the day. I was on a bit more ball and kind of, yeah, like you say, trying to break those lines. It's something that we would have acknowledged from the Cork game, that, like, it's something that we probably did a bit too slowly. We kind of let them get on top of us a bit too much, and, you know, they're a serious team, and if they box you in, it's hard to get out. So I think, like I said, like, maybe I was the one breaking the lines, but definitely not the only one. You know, like, Aveen Cleary and stuff, and Moyer coming out of the defense, like, they had unbelievable games as well. And I suppose it kind of fell into place on the day, I think.
Yeah, you can see Moira Shoxley got a hell of a lot of possessions that day, collecting ball off defenders or even kick out short. Who would you base your game on, Vicky? Is there anyone you'd look at and say, that's how I want to play?
I don't think so. I think there's certain elements of different players that you kind of look at and you admire and acknowledge. But then I suppose it's kind of like you said, like, what's your job on the day, you know, that kind of way. So we, like, our job was to get the ball to the people that were going to be scoring on the day. You know, I don't think I had a shot on goal on the day. But, you know, I don't care about that at all, to be honest. You know, it's give the ball to the right person in the right place. And, you know, like, Dougie getting a goal and Jetta was always there and Evo Sullivan. So, like, I think the thing I noticed watching the match back for the 10th time in the last few weeks, that, like, everyone did their role to perfection, you know, that kind of way. Like, everyone has an individual role and everyone stood up and did their role on the day. So I think that was something that that was nice to acknowledge.
I don't know if you got a chance to speak to Conor today. I know you're all doing these remotely, but Conor Myler was on a little earlier and we were talking about his role, I suppose, this year. And he's been tasked with a lot of man-marking jobs over the last couple of years. And while he does it, and he does it for the team, it isn't necessarily how he wants to play football. He likes to express himself and to play ball. How do you like to play football?
Yeah, I suppose I like to play football at a fast pace. Like to, you know, like, I suppose this controversy of is women's football touch, non-touch, contact, non-contact, all that kind of stuff. But I suppose it's the physicality of the game is kind of improving over the last few years. And, you know, obviously my role probably has changed a bit in previous years. Probably would have been closer to the goals, but I suppose maybe that the fact that my fitness has improved over the last few years and I'm able to kind of contribute to the team in a different way. So look, I'm happy to be on the pitch is my main thing. So I don't care where I play, I'm just happy to be on the pitch.
You mentioned club football a little earlier. Emma Duggan, same club as yourself. She's 18 years old. Like the way
19
that Emma,
now.
No, she's 19. Okay, there you
19
go.
19
there,
yeah.
The way she's striking football at the minute and the scores that she scored that day, like there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that she meant that goal. And I know that she had previously tried something like that at Fergal Lynch tweeting about it in a minor game a couple of years ago and it was disallowed. The skill levels in that Meath team over the last couple of years, how have you seen them develop, I suppose, in the last 2 or 3 years? Because we know there was the much-cited lows of 2015 where Cork Hammergee out the gate. And I know that there was a lot of changes to the panel over those years. And a few players maybe have come back in the last wee while, but a lot of young players have come through too. Have you seen a development in the skill level?
Yeah, and I think not alone the skill level, but just even like the fitness levels and the strength as well. Like that. And even I think confidence comes into play with that as well. Like it's easy to kind of, not easy, but as in it's a lot easier to show the type of football you are if your team's playing with confidence. And I think that's definitely something that's improved in the last few years. But then it comes back to training as well, like as in the training we're getting like from Paul Garrigan and the lads, and like Eugene Evers in with strength and conditioning, like the training we're getting, like as in they don't leave anything undone, you know, that kind of way. Everything's thought of, and it's not going to be, let's say, our fitness on the day that doesn't get us over the line, you know, that kind of way. We want it to be, we don't want any excuses other than like to be play football, you know, that kind of way. So I think, yes, the skill level has definitely increased. And, you know, that's down to girls putting in individual work as well, whether it's their kicking style or soloing or whatever it is. A lot of girls have done a lot of individual work. But then again, when we, like a training, the standard has just increased hugely as well over the last few years.
I was lucky to get coached by Mick Bahan for a couple of weeks probably in DCU. But it always stuck with me, the style of coaching that he had. And my kick passing definitely even improved, just thinking back in the sessions I had with him. And he spoke, I think it was the week before the All-Ireland final. I'm not sure if you're reading the papers that weekend, but he spoke about bringing in a biomechanical scientist to work on the kicking techniques of the Dublin footballers at the time. Like the Dubs became the standard setters for the last couple of years. And before that, it was the great Cork team. And before that, it was the Mayo team that had won a couple in a row. Like you were going up against behemoths of the game in the semi-final and the final. It's an average age of about 24 in that Meath team. You seem to play with no fear. Like you mentioned the confidence there. Like in the back of your head, is there no, like we could go out and get a trim in here? Or were you just that steadfast in your belief of the group and the game plan that you had that you could go out and play with a bit of freedom?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I thought that too deeply about it, but I just think like if I went and sat down and looked at my games that I played for Meath, like I'd still say I have more losses than wins, you know, can we? So I think like we've actually lost so many games and so many kind of close games in previous years that like the fear is not there. Like, you know, we've done it, like we've lost the All-Ireland finals at Croke Park. So like, what is the fear? Like, in that kind of way, is it's like, yeah, like in 2019, like the week after that All-Ireland loss probably was one of the worst weeks of my life. It was just horrendous, you know, you're
really
overthinking
really
everything and just, you know, you're kind of like your purpose before the All-Ireland is the All-Ireland, you know, you're so focused on your job and what you have to do. And no one goes into an All-Ireland final thinking they're going to lose. So I think like the week after that, whether it's a win or lose, the come down is tough, you know, kind of way. Even being away from the girls, we were talking about separation anxiety the last few weeks, you know, any excuse this week, we're trying to work out our training schedules, we can meet up in the evenings and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's tough in the sense that like teams play, I suppose when you play fear, like I said, you're more reserved. And I think maybe we felt in the Cork game, a bit of fear did trickle in. So I suppose it was something that we were very conscious of in the final. And it's like at the end day, it is a game of football. Do you know what I mean? There's like the fear wasn't there, I think, because we've lost a lot. So I think that kind of played into it as well.
I missed the semi-final live. We were in the midst of we were 6 points up my club team in a championship game in injury time, and we lost by a point at the exact same time that at the exact same time that you guys pulled it off. So I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of it. What's it like being on the winning end of a sensational comeback like that in injury time?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird one because, you know, people are asking us like what was going through your head in the last 5 minutes. But in comparison to previous years, like there actually wasn't a lot going through my head. Like, I don't think there was much thinking. I think if we'd taken the time to think, we wouldn't have been able to get the comeback. You're kind of, you're just literally thinking, next ball, like, let's get a score, next ball, let's get a score. Like, the only time I looked up at the clock was, I think, when there was literally like 20 seconds left. So I think.
And that's when you forced the turnover, right, for the final point.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of do or die at that stage. You know, we literally just had to press high and, you know, the ball came out short and then we got our opportunity and we took it. So I suppose you had that momentum going into extra time. So that kind of, I think, pushed us over the line. But yeah, in comparison to previous years, you know, when you're down by a few points, you're doing a lot of thinking, a lot of, oh God, it's slipping away now and that kind of stuff. I actually don't remember having those thoughts in that game.
You mentioned the two All-Ireland finals, or the All-Ireland finals that you had lost in the last couple of years. December 2020, you finally get the job done in the intermediate final. You win a Division 2 title then earlier this year. So you had experience in Croke Park. But losing finals and getting the finals and getting over the line, those experiences must really bond you as a team. And I'm not surprised to hear you mention the separation anxiety there. We know it's a young squad in Meath. Like, how do you make sure that you foster that now over the next wee while? Like, have you even begun to think about that yet? How do you make sure that, you know, this isn't just a one and done?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue of keeping girls together. I think like the enjoyment that we get out of playing together and like being together is just second to none. Like our county football this year has been our club. Do you know, kind of way? Like, we haven't been with our clubs at all this year, really. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. And like, there's been a really good group of core group of younger girls have come up, and they've come up in a bunch of six or seven. So it's very easy for them to kind of integrate more into the team when there's a group of them. You know, it's not like in previous years when we might have only had one or two kind of younger girls coming up, and it's kind of maybe a bit daunting. So I think just kind of keeping that cycle, you know, the minors won the Leinster final this year, so there's definitely a good handful of them that will be brought up, I'd say, next year. So just keeping that cycle. You know, we had a panel this year of 37. That's not including people, I think, that couldn't train and stuff like that with long-term injuries. So I suppose keeping that panel, and it meant that we can play full games and we can, you know, really challenge each other is very important. So I think keeping that going and in the right direction is important.
One of the most exciting developments, I suppose, in the women's game over the last few while has been the realistic proposition of playing professional sport when it comes to the AFLW. There was definitely occasions when it was possible to play both, and it seemed to work really seamlessly with the ladies' football calendar and the AFLW calendar. Is that something you'd have in your mind for down the line, that you'd love to have a go at something like that?
Yeah, it's definitely not something I'd rule out. You know, the thought of playing like it's professional or semi-professional sport is something that, you know, would have appealed to me from a young age. So yeah, it's definitely not something I'd rule out. You know, I'm here in Ireland anyway for the year now. I'm starting a master's in DCU this week. So that's my focus now for the next while. So yeah, look, I suppose in the future, it's not something I'll rule out.
Good stuff. Well, we don't want to lose any more Meath footballers to Australia, so stick with it for a bit longer, Vicky. Congratulations on becoming the PwC GPA Women's Player of the Month for September. Congratulations on your All-Ireland medal, and thanks for chatting to us on OTBAM.
Thanks, man, Tommy.